The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Mishpatim. The majority of the Seder deals with what is commonly known as Mishpatim and Dinim. This means the monetary laws, similar to civil laws, which are found between man and his fellow man. And this is an enormously vast area of the Mishnah and the Talmud. The majority of the sources for all of this, these laws are found here in Parshas Mishpatim. The Sedra begins by saying, Ve'ele ha-mishpatim asher tosim lifneihem. And these are the laws. Again, this is referring to the laws between man and his fellow man in dealings, in the affairs of men. Business, commerce, acquisitions, damages, and so forth, which you shall place before them. Just help them with the fans. I think they want the fans down or something. Huh? Want to help them with the fans? Okay. Rashi brings from the Medrash Rabbah, Kol mokum shenema eile posles harishenim. The eile mosif al harishenim. The sages ask the question, why does it say v'eile? V'eila means this is a continuity to the previous parsha. Well, seemingly it is not. So it should say Eila, because the previous parsha, the last topic dealt in Parshas Yisro, the previous parsha, is about Moshe going up to Har Sinai to receive the Torah. And the last particular topic deals with the Mizbeach, the altar, V'mizbach avonim ta'aseli, that how to make the altar, it should be an altar of stone, V'leisale v'malis al mizbechi, and so forth. So, apparently there is no continuity here. It's something new, so it should state Eile ha-mishpatim. Why does it say V'eile, which means this is a continuation of before? So the Medrash answers, Maharishenu Mishinai af Eilu Mishinai, to tell us that just like all of the laws given in the last parsha were given from Har Sinai, because the last parsha dealt with the Maimon Har Sinai, Moshe going up and receiving the Torah, and explicitly the Ten Commandments, and those we know were given from Sinai. So therefore the Torah tells us that these also are given from Sinai. That's one principle we learn from here. A second principle, Lama nismacho parshis dinin parshis mizbeach. What in particular does it have to do with the altar? Lemaloch, to tell you, Shetosim Sanhedrin Eitzol Hamikdosh Ve'Eitzol HaMizbeach. To tell us that the Sanhedrin was the highest court in Israel. This was the Supreme Court. Its place should be on the compound of the Beis HaMikdosh, not far from the Mizbeach. This is why, and they are the ones who were vested with the responsibility to see that the dinim, the mishpatim, were executed. So therefore, it is written right after the parashas of Mizbeach to tell us that physically they should be in close proximity. The place of the Sanhedrin Hagdola, the Supreme Court, was on the compound of the Beis HaMikdosh. Now, this is something which needs explanation. The others were given from Sinai, these are also given from Sinai. Why should I think these are not given from Sinai? Secondly, what relationship does Mishpatim Here we're dealing with the mundane laws where you purchase a slave, or you purchase a maid servant, or one man strikes another person, he injures him, or he kills him, or a person's ox gores another ox, or you dig a pit and someone falls into it, or you light a fire and the fire goes out and burns something, and so forth and so on. What does this have to do with the Beis HaMikdash and the Mizbeach? The answer to this is goes into a very great principle in the Torah. Our Chazal teach us that there are two levels. One level is called Derech Eretz, and the other level is called Torah. And these are two separate levels. Derech Eretz, the Maral always explains, is Masha Asech LaTachten Gezer Umechayev. This is what human intellect decrees that should be the conduct, the behavior, the discipline of people. This is what this world, the earthly world, decrees that should be the conduct of people. Hanhogas Eilam Hazeh, how one should live and act in this world. Because we're after all Dorei Tachton, we live in this world, we're earthly human beings. And therefore, we have to have a code of discipline. This is what the level of Derech Eretz is. Now, this is something which the Chazal tell us one should not look lightly at. It's a very, very great chokhmah, great wisdom. But nevertheless, it is a wisdom of this world. And there is no kedusha in this world, in this wisdom. There is no sanctity in this. Now there's another level. And that's Masha Seichel Ha'Elyon Gezer, the Machayev. That's not what human intellect decrees or demands, but rather that's what a higher intellect, a higher intelligence decrees. That's a wisdom, that's a discipline which comes from the Olam HaElyon, a higher world, a world which is Bilti Gashmi, a non-physical world, a spiritual world, a world which has perfection in it and kedusha, sanctity. In other words, Hanogas Elam HaElyon, the way one has to act by decree of higher powers. And this is what is known as Torah and Mitzvahs. So these are your two levels. The level of Derech Eretz, it's called Derech Eretz because this is the way of the earth. And Torah and Mitzvahs, the word Torah, we had in last week's Parsha, comes from the word Lahorosam. The word Horah, to guide you. Because just like we are earthly human beings, we are made of two worlds. We are also spiritual human beings. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us, he created us from the earth of this world, Ofar Milmato. But then Vayipach Vapov Nishmas Chaim, he blew into our nostrils a spirit from above. So we have to act in accordance to two worlds. The dictates of this world and the dictates of a higher world. The dictates of this world is known as the Chochmas Derech Eretz, the wisdom of Derech Eretz. The dictates of a higher world is known as Torah and Mitzvahs. Now, when it comes to Dinim, these types of laws which govern the affairs between people, commerce, damages, and so forth. There's no doubt that these laws are necessary for the Tikkun HaYishuv. Tikkun HaYishuv means for civilization, for society. If we didn't have them, so Ish Esreihu Chayim Balu, the Chazal say, you should always have respect, more than respect. There must be fear. We must pray all the time for Meira Malchus, the fear of the authority of the government. Because a land that does not have a government, and a government that the people do not have a fear of, will be total anarchy, where one man will swallow his fellow man. Okay, which we see. We see this in the world. We see this in our own country. So, these laws are necessary for Tikkun HaYishuv, so men can live together. This is why they refer to as civil laws. And this is why all civilizations had these laws. If you had a society that didn't have these laws, so then they were known as uncivilized people. It's not civilized. They're not civil. And every country that was civilized had its code of laws. And this is the Derech Chochmah's Derech Eretz, the wisdom of Derech Eretz. And this existed before Torah. Didn't start with Torah. We can't say that till Torah was given, all of the other nations were in a state of anarchy where one swallowed the other. Fact is, the Gemara brings, and the Chazal say, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Adam HaRishon, the first man, and he spoke of Derech Eitz HaChaim, this was the way to the tree of life. Derech refers to Derech Eretz. And Derech Eretz was given 2,000 years before Torah and 26 generations before Torah, because Derech Eretz was given to Adam HaRishon. As soon as man was created, he had to have a code of discipline how to live in this world. And this wisdom was taught to Adam HaRishon. But Torah came only 26 generations later. There were 20 generations, 10 from Adam to Noah, and 10 from Noah to Abraham. And then after Abraham, Moshe was the 6th generation. So it was 26 generations later. So this is what is meant, Derech Eretz Kodma L'Torah. Derech Eretz preceded Torah. And the Maral writes it had to, because you cannot come and study and understand and perfect a Seichel HaElyon, a higher intelligence, if you do not have an earthly intelligence. Cannot come and become a physical person that has spiritual perfection if first you did not perfect yourself as an earthly human being. That's why Derech Eretz Kodma L'Torah, that Chochma. And this is the Seder Olam. This is the way of life. When a child is born, right away, as soon as he has a little seichel, you start inculcating Derech Eretz in him. You teach him how not to break things. You teach him not to touch something which is hot, not to go near the water, how to brush his teeth, how to take care of himself, and so forth and so on. Only later, when he reaches a much higher intelligence and he has all the basic Derech Eretz, then he could start studying something of a higher level of Torah. That's why ain't Derech Eretz, ain't Torah. If you don't have this foundation, then where are you going to put Torah? States the Gemara brings that someone who does not have this foundation of Derech Eretz is Deima Lekelef, the Gemara brings. It's like an animal, like a dog. This is the difference between a man, and you cannot teach an animal Torah. So, therefore, I would think as follows. I would say that all of these laws which are in this parsha, this is the Chochmas Derech Eretz. This is the wisdom of this world. How men must conduct themselves. Now the Torah is telling us, no, it's not true. Even though, till now, we also conducted ourselves with similar laws. And the nations of the world have volumes of codes of civil law. What I am giving to you now, Mishpatim, is not civil law. No. It's Torah. It's far more than the discipline of the civil law. What I am giving you now is Torah from another world. Therefore it states, Ve'ele ha-mishpatim. Ma'elu mi-Sinai, just like all of the others, mitzvahs, which no doubt came from Sinai, because many of them are chukim, many of them are statutes that we don't even know what we can't even understand them. They're not the fruits of human endeavor. Af elu, these also are from the same Sinai and from the same Torah, and do not confuse them with civil law. And just like Torah has Kedusha, it comes from another world, these also have the same Kedusha, and they come from another world. And therefore their place is Eitzel HaMizbeach, Eitzel HaMikdash. Their place is next to the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash was the focal point of the Kedusha, of the sanctity. It was in Eretz Yisrael, that was Kodesh Mishar Arotz, the most holy of all lands. It was in Yerushalayim, that was the most Kodesh of all cities. Right there must be the Sanhedrin, the Supreme Court that exercises these laws. This is what this Medrash is telling us. Now maybe you'll ask, well, what's the difference? What's the difference if they're civil laws or they're Torah? Basically they're the same thing. No, not so. If these disciplines are merely because of civil law, then they're at Tzeirech El Mazeh. They're merely for the necessity of this world. If that would be the case, like we said, Tikkun HaYishuv, for the necessity of society, if that would be the case, so where there is no necessity for society, we could do away with it. If there was no commerce, or if you were in a place where there was no commerce, you wouldn't need these laws. Well, to what purpose are they? If a person would live alone, so what would he need courts for? Who's he going to bring to court? So we can do away with all of the volumes of civil law. In the next world, what is going to happen to the volumes and volumes of civil law? We won't take them with us. It won't be necessary there. If they're mitzad mitzvahs Hashem, if these are mitzvahs of Torah, then they're not merely for the necessity of the tikkun hayishuv of society, but these are the statutes, these are the laws which are upright and true in essence, intrinsically. These are axioms and truths which cannot be compromised. And whether there's a society or not, these are still the axioms and truths of perfection and integrity. Whether a person would live alone or live with people, or in the next world also, Because no mitzvahs will become bottled, will disappear from the Torah, because the Torah comes from another world. This is merely their application on this world. But their roots, where they grow from, that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is Hatzur Tomim Po'olai, Ein Ovel, who is the master of what is straight and what is upright. So this is the difference. There are Seichel Hashem. This is not the fruits of people or fruits of the intelligence which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to people, but rather they are the fruits of the intelligence of Hashem, and they're called therefore the Seichel Hashem. And the Rishonim refer that when you are misamek, when you study with depth all mitzvahs, but in particular these mitzvahs, because it's brought, the Gemara tells us, the greatest intelligence of Hashem is in these mitzvahs. Haretz yakim yasek b'divrei mominus. You want Hashem's wisdom, you shall study these laws. The Rishonim, the early commentators, say that when one delves into the depths of these laws, harehu kemizdabik b'seichol ha'elyon, it says, if he is cleaving to the intelligence of Hashem himself. So now there's a great difference. It's because of this, the Maral writes in a number of places, in Tzivat Tzedek, and also in the Tzivat, in Perek Aleph of Tzivat Tzniut, he writes, he says, these dinim are not like many of the hamon of the populace might think. They're merely for the discipline of society, like we mentioned. But they're the yosher and the tov bi'atzmai. They are the essence of what is good and upright. And someone who lives by them, then he acquires the perfection of goodness and uprightness. And therefore he is known as a tzaddik v'yosher. And someone who is neiter from them, someone who goes astray from them, nikro rosho, in the words of the sages, he is called a rosho, not merely because of the harm that he might inflict on others because of that, but because he lacks what is good and what is upright. Now with this we can understand a number of things. Firstly, the sages say in general that certain mitzvahs are known as chukim. Chukim are statutes which we do not understand so well. Others are known as mishpotim. These are mitzvahs which we have an understanding of. The sages say as follows. The chukim we would have never written ourselves. It's impossible. The mishpotim, man would have written himself even if the Torah didn't give it. So we can ask the question then, so what do we need the Torah for? This is the answer. Man would have written himself, like we see. All nations write codes of civil law, but it would remain civil law. It would have been the fruits of human intellect. And the fruits of human intellect is far from perfect, like we see from human law. It's full of error and full of problems and full of obstacles. Torah was given to Israel, but now they are the fruits of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's a different level altogether. Another point that we can understand with this. The Gemara Rashi brings a Gemara in Gittin, and that Peches. Rashi writes here, "Eila mishpatim asher tosim lifneihem." These are the laws which you shall place before them. Who's them? So the Gemara says them is Israel or the 70 Zekanim. Before we were talking about the 70 elders, so that's before the court, the high court. What does this come to exclude? The Gemara says this comes to exclude that you shall not place these laws before the nations of the world. Meaning what? Even if their court systems have laws similar to ours, be a similar outcome, one is not allowed to bring his disputes to the courts of the nations of the world. And someone who does that, he's mechalales Hashem. It's a desecration of Hashem's Torah. Why? What's the difference? What's the difference if I go to the Beis Din, or if I go to the Sanhedrin, and they give me such a decision, and I can go to the local courts, and they'll give me the same decision? My nachkimina, what's the difference? The difference is because when the civil courts give it to you, it's civil law. It's the fruits of intellectual, human intellectual. When it comes from our courts, it comes through the Sanhedrin, then it's the fruits of our Kodesh Baruch Hu's intellect. It's a different level altogether. It's a different world. And if we take our disputes to those courts, we are lowering and desecrating it. Incidentally, there are laws, though, that if you have no recourse to a Torah court, then you could go to the other courts. But this is the basic principle in the Torah. Now, something else. It was the custom for generations and generations and generations that Jews would learn Gemara, Mishnah and Gemara, and an enormous amount of time would be spent on the section dealing with Mishpotim. This was known as Seder Nezikin, and this was customary in all of the yeshivas of old. People would ask, especially people who did not come from Torah areas, would ask, why are you studying these laws? Are you going to be a lawyer? Are you going to be a judge? If you are, good, but if not, why are you studying these laws? Why the yeshiva studying these laws? Wouldn't it far be better to study something like Shabbos, Masechta Shabbos, or Masechta Brochas, which has to do with everyday mitzvahs that you have to do, or Masechta Yom Tov? This is a common question that was asked many times, especially from people that came from non-Torah areas. The answer now is self-evident. We do not study these laws to become judges or to become lawyers. If we do want to, then we have to. But it's not limited to that. We study these laws to know the difference between right and wrong. Besides how to conduct our own affairs, which one has to know, like we'll see. And also as a whole world. But we study these laws in order to know what is right and what is wrong. What is tzedek, and what is rosho? What is upright and what is crooked? And the more we study these laws, the more we are perfecting ourselves. We are perfecting our seichel. We are perfecting our hearts. We are perfecting ourselves because we're coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's version of what is right and what is wrong.
I once, a number of times in the past, I think I've mentioned
a story that happened once when we lived in St. Louis. There was a day school which I was attached to, and once a year they would have a large banquet. 1,000 people could come, and they would bring in a national a speaker of national repute. And this year they had chosen to bring in a Jewish judge on the Supreme Court of the United States. The Supreme Court in America is different than here. The Supreme Court of the United States is the highest court of the land. It's in Washington, D.C., and it's the final authority of the land. There was a famous Jewish judge on that Supreme Court. His name was Abe Fortas. And it was written on him that he was one of those most brilliant minds that ever sat on the bench. So he came to become the guest speaker, and he came from a city, I believe Memphis, Tennessee, which was not too far from there, and that was in the South. The South, Yiddishkeit was very weak in the early days, so he grew up without much of a Jewish background. And the day of the banquet, the head of the day school, as he came into the city, the head of the day school sent some of the senior students to go and to speak to him about what they were learning. And at that time they were learning Nezikim. They were learning something from Bava Metzia, Bava Kama. So they went and they sat down in a room, and they told them all, and these were the senior students, but they were only about 14, 15 years old, maybe even younger. And they explained to him in detail the Pilpul HaGemara. Two are holding onto a talus, and one claims it's his and the other claims it's his, and what the Mishnah and the Gemara say on it. He asked them, why are you studying this? Are you planning to be lawyers? Do you want to be judges? So they said, no. So he said, why are you studying this then? They said, this is Torah, and we study Torah. So he found it quite interesting, and he had a nice discussion with them. That evening at the banquet, everyone was expecting an enormous intellectual address. Many of the top intellectuals of the city showed up to the banquet. He said, I came with a lot of notes. I'm setting this all aside. I've decided to speak on something else. He said, I never had a chance for a Jewish education. I never knew what Mishnah was, what Gemara was. I never even knew this existed. And he said, I always thought that there was only one place where men could sit and seek the ultimate truth of righteousness. And that was in the Supreme Court of America. Because he said that's the only court where a judge has no influence over him. The appointment is for life. All the other courts, the appointments are not for life. Many times they could be elected sometimes. Sometimes they are appointed and so forth. It's got to be careful. But the Supreme Court, nobody can touch us. And I thought this was the only place that men could sit and study and pursue the truth and pursue what is right and wrong. Now I found that Jewish children, 13, 14 years old, are doing the same thing. Because they're not interested in becoming lawyers. This is not preparation for a profession. They're studying to find out what the law is, because they want to know what is right and what is wrong. And they're going into it in great depth and detail. He said, this is something I never knew I would find in my own religion, because I never had it when I was young. And this was his talk, and he elaborated on this. Another point. the Gemara brings, it's a Gemara later in Baba Kama, Hai man de Mahavi, the boy chosid. If a person wants to be a chosid, chosid is the Gemara in Aveda Zora, is a braisa for Pinchas ben Yoir. Pinchas ben Yoir says, and he describes one thing after the other, a ladder, how to reach the highest levels to Hashem. First Zrizus, then Zihirus, and so forth and so on. The whole Sefer Mesilas Yesharim is built to explain that braisa. According to one opinion in the Gemara, the highest level that a person can reach is what is known as Hasidus. And Hasidus, the Mesilas Yesharim explains, is where he fulfills every mitzvah to the total fullness, with a totality. Now, we've given shurim on that in the past. It's not the point here. But the Gemara says, if a person wants to become a chosid, what should he do? Gives three answers. One of the answers is, l'kayim mili denezikim. Let him fulfill these laws. Now, if these laws were civil laws, could we come to the highest levels that a human being can reach in spiritual perfection? According to one opinion in the Gemara, that a person, if he delves into these laws and he fulfills these laws in totality, he will be a chosid. We see the level ve'eila. That just like the others came from Sinai, these also. One more point on this. There's an interesting Gemara in Masechta Ervin. The Gemara brings, and Daf Kuf Seif Amud Beis, Il Molle Le Nitna Torah. If Hashem did not give us the Torah, the Gemara brings a number of things, a number of good principles we could have still learned from various animals. We would learn snius, modesty, from a cat. A cat is the most modest of all animals. It's a sanua. Gezel minamola. We would have learned not to steal from the ant. Mora brings the ant will never take anything that's not his. And he smells it. And through smelling it, he can tell if it's not his. If it's not his, he'll run from it. He won't touch, he won't come near anything that's not his. Arayis miyona. A yona dove once one of the pair dies, the next one will never take another mate. And they'll never take another mate, surely, while one of them is alive. This is how loyal they are, total loyalty to each other. This stands out by the yona. We would have learned harais, how loyal a person has to be in his marriage, from the yona, from the dove, and so forth. This is what the Gemara says. Now, on this point of stealing, Maral asks a good question. We're going to learn from the ant not to steal if the Torah wasn't given. What do we say? The animals don't steal. We said that stealing, people would say, is tikkun ha-yishuv, in order that people can live together in peace. Animals live by taking from each other. All animals steal from each other. Go out into the game reserve. You'll see the lion. You'll see a leopard will kill a deer, and then you'll see the wild dogs or the hyenas come and steal it from him. So he'll go and hang it in a tree where they can't climb up to take it. This is why it's called the law of the jungle. Go into the sea. The law of the sea, one lives off the other. So what's it telling us? We'll learn we'll learn honesty from the animals. There's a difference between human beings and the animals. It's a good question that Maharal's asking. So Maharal says like this. Tikkun ha-yishuv, how to be civilized, we can't learn from the animals. That's not society, that's the jungle, that's the woods, that's the sea. But we do find in various animals where they stand out from all of the rest in some midah tova, in some virtue. The yona in his virtue, the ant in his virtue, the chatul, the cat in her virtue, they stand out. He says, why is that? Those who have minds and they want to seek the truth, they'll ask the question, why? He says, the answer is because even animals have a certain link to their creator, where something of their creator rubs off on them. So if you see a virtue in an animal, you should know that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you see all animals are stealing from each other, and all of a sudden the ant, heaven forbid, he'll run from theft, you'll know that was imparted to him from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you see all animals will have many mates, that's how they live. But the yona not, that was imparted to her from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what we would learn then. Well, if it stands out, we'll learn from that. So he says, so what do you see then? You see this theft? He says, it's not because of tikkun ha-yishuv, not because of civil and social needs, but because this is a virtue of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because if the Gemara means we would learn from there how society should live, we're going to the wrong place to learn how society should live. So we see this is a virtue. And this is a virtue from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if the ant has it, we should try to emulate it. This incidentally also will answer. It states that if Torah wasn't given, we would learn it from them. So the Gemara means in that same vein, we would learn, it would be Torah, it would be a virtue of Hashem, not a fruit of man's intellect, but this would be a virtue of Hashem. From what we've said, we can understand what David HaMelech writes, and this the Mesillas Yesharim brings. David HaMelech writes in Tehillim Chof Vav, Erchatz b'nikoyin kapoy v'asov sovevo es mizbachacho Hashem. He says, I wash my hands with cleanliness, and I will go around your altar. Now, kapoy, that always refers to what is left in a person's hands that belongs to someone else. David HaMelech was saying, I want to come close to the mizbachach, to your altar. How does one come close to your altar? He says, by washing your hands, making sure that your hands are not holding even a residue of something that might belong to someone else. This is what we learned. Ve'ela ha-mishpotim shet. Ma, what does the mishpotim have to do with the mizbeach? That you should put the Sanhedrin next to the mizbeach. If a person wants to come to the mizbeach of Hashem, he has to come through these mishpotim. And this is what David HaMelech wrote also in Tehillim Chof Dalet. Mi yaleh b'har Hashem umi yokum b'mkem kodshoy neki chapayim uvalivov. Who is the one that will go up to the Har Hashem? The Har Hashem is the Beis HaMikdash. And who will stand in that place? He says, that's the Neki Kapayim. The one who has kept these Mishpotim. The Mesilas Yeshorim, in the Perek that deals with Bir Midas HaNikios, and the next Perek, Prati HaNikios, Perek Yud and Perek Yud Aleph, he elaborates on this subject, and I would like to quote a few of the principles which he mentions there. Now, amongst what he brings, we have two Gemaras which we can learn some very, very great principles in regarding this subject. Firstly, a Gemara in Hagiga Daf Yud Aleph. The Gemara says, "Gezel v'arayis nafshi shel odem mechandosum umisav Elohim." When it comes to gezel means taking something which belongs to someone else. And arayis means adultery, incest, forbidden unions. Nafshi shel odem, it is the nature of man, mechandosan umisav Elohim, the nature of man to desire these. Man was created with a great desire which he has to struggle with. For forbidden unions and gezel. From here we see hukash gezel arayis linyan achemdo, that just like it's difficult for man to conquer his desire for forbidden unions, so do the Chazal tell us, is it difficult for man to conquer his desire to take that what belongs to someone else? Now, on this, we will qualify somewhat, because generally you would say, look at, most Jews are not ganovim. They're not necessarily desire to steal something from someone else. So we will qualify what that means in a minute. Now there's another Gemara, but from here we hear that it's kosher lifrei shubin and zihiris gedola, that this is something which a person needs great strength for and constant effort. A second Gemara, b'vasar kufsamachei rubam begezel umiutam barais v'kulm b'avak lo shenor. Says the majority of people transgress gezel, transgress taking which belongs to someone else. A minority of people transgress arayis, the laws of forbidden unions. Kulam, all of them are the avak loshon hora. All of them, all of us, are nichshol. We fall down when it comes to speaking. The Gemara says not actual loshen hora, can't say everyone, but avak loshen hora, the dust of loshen hora. The dust of loshen hora means a subtle indication of saying something bad about someone. Now, we're not discussing arayis and we're not discussing loshen hora now, but we can ask the tremendous kasha, and the Mesilas Yeshorim asks it. Arev Yisrael ganvei, the majority of Jews are ganovim. It says Ruva Megezel, the majority of Jews, majority of people are Nikshel and Gezel. V'chiv Reiv Yisrael Ganvi, majority of Jews, how can you say that the majority of Jews are Gazlonim? So this is what he writes. heaven forbid, the majority of Jews are not gazlonim, are not thieves. But this is what he writes: Ki mibnei reiv dakusai. The laws regarding the dealings with money of other people, interaction of people in regards to possessions and money and so forth, are so intricate and are so subtle and fine. Kol b'nei odom nicholim b'ch. Everyone falls down when it comes to this. Everyone. B'me'a she'ein makirin esrei. Many times without even realizing that they are doing so. And he writes, Teva odom cholosh. Nature of man is very weak when it comes to these things. V'liboi nifte al mikallo umakel atzmei. And many times he will justify to himself that this is all right. So when it says that the majority are ganovim, see, are begezel, it doesn't mean outright theft. But nevertheless, he says it's theft. Because the laws are so fine and subtle and intricate, and many times without even realization, and many times by justifying it for ourselves. U'bezeh hoi mispare Dover HaMelech. And this is what Dover HaMelech prided himself in, when he said, Nikion kapai, my hands are clean. My hands are clean, and I will go around the Mizbeach Hashem. It states, this is why David HaMelech used to say that I will go to war against the enemies, and I will conquer them, and I will return. How do you know? Because he said, Nikion kapai, because my hands are clean from holding anything that belongs to anyone else. David knew, Yoda be'atzmoi, this he knew. Now, let me give a few examples which he brings to illustrate what is meant by this. Borin Sanhedrin brings, and Afpe Aleph, Yecheskel said upon himself, "There's Ashes Re'ehu Leitime. I did not cause impurity to the wife of my fellow man." The Gemara says, what is this, a praise? Someone comes and says, I never committed adultery. I never stole another man's wife. This could be a praise for cowboys. But for a Jew, this is a praise. Yeah. Never stole another man's wife. What did he mean? He meant Lo yorad lo umnose chaveray. Never did I take business away from another person. Whenever I did business, my whole life, nobody can ever point a finger at me by saying that I diverted some business away from my competitors in a way which I was not allowed to. So what's this got to do with Eishes Re'ehu Leitime? Because the Gemara says that parnoso of a person is known as ishto. Re'ei chayim im isha asher ohavto, the Gemara says isha zu re'ei chayim, that's the parnoso. Person lives from his panoso, just like his wife gives him life, his panoso gives him life. He wasn't referring, heaven forbid, that a tzaddik can be mispired or that he didn't steal anybody's wife, but he never went and did anything that someone could point a finger, you took some business away from me. From here we see that if you take business away from someone, HaKadosh Baruch Hu points a finger at a Jew and says, "As Eishes Re'ehu Timei." It's as if you stole his wife.
Rabbi Yehuda said he held that a shopkeeper is not allowed to give gifts to children when they come in to buy orders for their parents, because then they'll keep coming back to him and not go to the other shops. The Chachomim permitted, because Gam Chaver Yochel Asos Ken, because the others have the same ability to do this. But we see there's a whole, all kind of dini, many, many laws in this, laws of fair competition. How careful a Jew has to be. Another example, he brings a pile. You work for someone. You know, today we've been seeing in the Western world, and we see it here now, but already in the Western world it's waning a bit, the strengthening of the unions. Union demands. We see workers want more time off. They want more holidays. They want a shorter week. Longer weekends. Public holidays off. Jewish holidays off. Weekends. Longer holiday periods, shorter hours. But this is all good. This is fine. But do you ever hear the union say, you must deduct from our checks the less amount of hours that we're working for you? That we haven't heard yet. But if they're giving less to the Balabosh, so isn't it right that the Balabosh should give them less? After all, isn't this a partnership between two people? You work for me and I pay you. I pay you for your work and you work for your pay. You work more, I have to pay you more. You work less, then I have to pay you less. Oh yeah, then there's the sick leave. I remember my father, Oliver Sholem, used to work for AT&T, telephone company. It was the biggest business in the world then. So I once asked him about sick leave. He says, if a person was sick, he took off. Well, otherwise he went to work. Unions develop where you get a certain amount of sick leave. And if you're not sick, you get it off anyhow. Yeah, no, these are union demands. Person is allowed 2, 3, 4 weeks sick week of leave, and this accumulates. One day they can come and say, look, I can take 3 months off because for 3 years I haven't used up my sick leave. But does anybody ever talk about paying the Balabosh? Mesilas Yesharim brings, Kfar Pitru es apeli ma esim es balabats baevs mi birkes ameitzi u mi birkes achreines de birkes amozum. He says the Chazal, this is the basic aloha. We don't practice this today, but this is the basic aloha. The Chazal said that when workers eat, they do not have to make ameitzi, and they do not have to bench the whole benching in order not to steal from the balabos's time. And they said that when it comes to time Krishma, and he's working for the Balabos and he's getting paid for it, he should only read the first parsha. We exempt you for the rest, because otherwise you'll be stealing from the employer. So he says, so how much more so if somebody... This is a chiyuv min haTorah, he's obligated. If someone is not obligated and he takes time off, she calls here yom also behen shaleir vatal malachti shel balabais b'imova areza gazlan. A worker, he says, you have sold your time. The Gemara says a worker, a skir yom, that's mem kaliyuma, you have sold your time to the balabais. That's what he's paying you for. So his time is yours. And if you don't use it for him, if you don't use it for the employer, he's a gezel, he says, it's a goslin. Hine abechilkoyo, abechilkiyo, afilu sholem leheishiv letamir hachomim shenosin leisholem, shalili botam lechzerehu.
There was Abba Hilkia, a great tzaddik. When Talmidei Chachomim would come in, the Gemara brings, Talmidei Chachomim would come in, workers are not allowed to stand. Because if they stand for the Talmidei Chachomim, they stop their work and they're stealing from the employer. Abba Hilkiyahu went even further. When a Talmud Chacham would say Shalom to him, he wouldn't answer. Wouldn't answer. How can I answer? It disturbs my work. I'm stealing from the Balabais. Yaakov Avinu, what did Yaakov pride himself? He worked for Lavan. No, Lavan was the real Ganef. Yeah. He cheated Yaakov 100 times, the Gemara says. And Yaakov told him, Hoyisi bayema chalani chere bekerech balaylo, batida shnosi meinai. He says, the sheep, your sheep I watched, where the frost bit into me, and the chamsin and the heat took my life from me, and I gave up my sleep to make sure that you wouldn't lose one sheep. If the employer waives it, that's a different story. See, so a lot of these things today, we say the employer understands. You have to eat, you have to make a mitzi, you have to bench. All right, he waives it. See? But there's certain things he wouldn't be happy to waive. You get people that take a job, and they're talking on the telephone to their friends. On the employer's phone, on the employer's time, and so forth and so on. And he writes, he says, these are averes. He says, Yom Kippurim is not machaper. Even Yom Kippur is not machaper. Achiratz is chavere. Until when you take from someone that belongs to him, until your chaver is maratze, until he forgives you. Then he says further. He says, you have those people who think that, look, this is what he calls false chassidus. It's a mitzvah to do a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to do a mitzvah. So they do it on the employer's time. He says, not only is that gezel, but that's worse. Why? Because first of all, you stole time, which was already sold to your employer. He's giving you money for it. But secondly, that mitzvah now, he says, is a mitzvah habob avera. It's a mitzvah that comes from an avera. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that makes HaKadosh Baruch Hu very angry. He brings the Gemaras. See? Haresha gozel sochiti mutchona v'ofem v'varech einzem v'varech elemenoitz. It's like someone who steals wheat and he makes bread from it and he makes a brocha that's a te'eva, that's abomination by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it would be better if you would eat that without benching, without making a meitzin, without benching. And then he goes further and he says, Leisenu. States in the Torah, Leisenu Isha Samisai. You are not allowed to mislead someone when you sell him something. You're a used car dealer, and you got a car that's a wreck. Meanwhile, you're telling them it's the best car on the road. Afilu Rames is a goy osa. Uksiv Sheris Yisrael Yasa Abzo. He says, even to mislead a goy, one is not allowed to. The Gemara brings Geneva's Das is even also by a goy. It says, Israel, do not tell lies. The Gemara, I always mention in this vein a story. When we were in St. Louis, there was an old Jew there. He's not living anymore. At that time, he was already 80. That's 25 years ago. And he came, he had learned in the Slobodky Yeshiva in Old Litvak. And he was a chemist in Radin. He owned a chemist in Radin, the Chofetz Chaim's town. And this was during the time of the Chofetz Chaim. He told me in Radin, it was impossible for a Jew to upnarin a goy, to try to take advantage of a non-Jew in any type of business deal. Impossible. Why? He says, because the minute the goy would feel that he was being taken advantage of, he would say, will go to the Chofetz Chaim. And once the Jew heard that, no, he says, all right, take it here, you can have it for your money and finished. Because if it came to the Chofetz Chaim and these things was, the Chofetz Chaim, they say at times, wanted to close a shop because people used to come when they heard he had a shop, he was a shopkeeper. And when they used to hear it's the Chofetz Chaim shop, so he was taking business away from other people. And he says, I'm afraid I'm giving away my Elam Haba for this. And he wanted to close his shop. He goes further. Many times we say, look, it's just a little. If it's something which the person you know would waive, that's something else. But if you don't, it says, if you steal from a person, even a shava pruta, that's a very, very small amount. That's if like taking his life from him. The Dor Hamabel, that was the worst generation we see for the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought a flood to destroy the whole world. And the Psukim say what they did, but it states that the final decree that the world would be destroyed came because of Gezel. The Gemara brings that someone who owns a fruit and vegetable shop is not allowed to take yesterday's fruit and yesterday's vegetables and mix it up with today's fruit and today's vegetables. He's got to tell the man, this is today's and this is yesterday's. Kosha onshin shel midas me onshin shel arayis, the Gemara says. When it comes to weights and measures, if someone cheats through weights and measures, it says te'eva lashem, that's an abomination, and the Gemara says that's worse than arayis. That's worse than forbidden unions. The Gemara says, "Ein hakshobim netzorim ela bavein gezel." Drought comes because when we have in our hands what belongs to someone else. So he says, "What do we see?" Two things. Firstly, outright theft. Now, that we don't find too much by Jews. But the theft, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds as theft, he says that is so subtle, and that is so dakus, so fine, and detailed. Where the Gemara says, Ruben Megezel, the majority of us, we cannot say, like Dovra Melech, our hands are perfectly clean. And many times to us, many times we're over this, we transgress this unknowingly. Other times, knowingly, but the desire is so strong, and we falsely justify ourselves. Look, it's nothing. So that's why the Chazal tell us two things. We have to know, Gezel v'aray is nafshi shalod mechamdosun u'misave lehen. That when it comes to theft, the nature of the man drives him for it. And secondly, Ruba Megezel, the majority of people are confronted with this all of the time. From all of this, we see two things. Firstly, Ad Heichan Advori Magim. How far this goes. When we're talking about the Mishpatim, the laws of the nations of the world, that's a different story. And that's the fruits of human intellect, and that's set. It's also, it's a Dovr Godel. It's an enormous thing. Without that, there wouldn't be society. There wouldn't be a civilization. But that's Letikun HaYishuv. That's in order that affairs of men should be conducted in an orderly fashion. But when we're talking about the mishpatim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to the Jews, to Israel, that's a different thing altogether. There HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the mishpatim because he wanted to inculcate in us his perfection. Not merely that you can get along in the street or in the marketplace, but he wanted to inculcate in us his perfection. His perfection, that's a different thing altogether. That's a different thing altogether. And that's why it's a lifelong endeavor to strive for it. That's why it's a lifelong endeavor to study these laws. And that's why the Gemara says you can come to Hasidus, to the highest level of spiritual perfection through these laws. What we mentioned here was a drop in the ocean of them. Drop of the ocean. You want to know what there is? You have Baba Kama, Baba Messiah, Baba Basra. Baba Basra is the largest Masechet in Shas. You have Shavuos, you have Sanhedrin, and whatnot. And that's the first principle we see. Second principle, we see the difference between Yisrael and Amin. That's why it states Ve'ela HaMishpatim. Don't think this is what I'm giving you now, what I gave you at Har Sinai, your mitzvahs, and this that I'm giving you is what all of the nations have. No. And don't bring this to the courts of the nations. Then you machal my Torah. You're taking from my Torah and you're making it a Derech Eretz. The wisdom of Derech Eretz is very great, but it doesn't come to the wisdom of the Torah that's coming from another world. Ve'ela HaMishpatim. Ma'elu Mishinai af Elu Mishinai. Just like the others came all the way from Sinai, these also come from Sinai. And She'tosim HaSanhedrin Netzal HaMizbeach. Their place is next to the Mizbeach. Because this will bring man to the highest levels that he can reach. These are the principles that we learn from Ve'ela HaMishpatim She'tosim Lifnehem.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085 and via post at PO Box 66226 Broadway 2020 Johannesburg, South Africa.